If you have your Bibles there, you're welcome to turn with me this morning. I'll be in the starting the book of Matthew, and I'll be in chapter 20 and verse 17. And again, this is called Palm Sunday because we remember this is the day that the Master entered into Jerusalem. He started his walk to the cross. In just 5 short days, he would be laying his life down for you and me. But praise God, 3 days later, he picked it back up again. Amen?
Amen.
Now, Jesus has been teaching his disciples, his followers now for 3.5 years. He's been pouring into them, preparing them for what he had called them to do, but also what he's been called to do. He was trying to prepare them for when these events take place that they wouldn't be scared. And we catch up with the Master here in the 20th chapter of Matthew, verse 17. It says that Jesus was about to go up to Jerusalem. He took the 12 disciples aside by themselves, and on the way he said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and scribes. They will condemn him to death, and will deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and crucify him. And on the third day, he will be raised up." Now, if they were listening to him, think about that. If they were truly listening to him, would they went? You know, Brother Bob, if I told you, "Hey, listen, we're going up the street here. You're going to go with me. We get 2 blocks up there, they're going to grab a hold of me. They're going to strip me naked. They're going to beat me. They're going to pluck out my beard, my hair. They're going to put crowns. This is going to destroy me. They're going to kill me, Bob. Ready, buddy?" No. But see, you're hanging around me, and things are exciting. Boy, have we seen the Master? Boy, we seen him raise the dead. Man, we said, "Well, what's he going to do today?" He's saying, "Okay, now listen, I'm going up the street here, and they're going to grab a hold of me, and they're going to kill me." Okay, we're not listening because our eyes are on, "Man, what's he going to do today?" I go, "Oh, okay, Jesus, man, what's he going to do today, Daryl?" We're so excited because we've seen all these tremendous things take place that the disciples wasn't really, I believe, listening to him. Because even though they believe in the Lord, when he said, "Listen, I'm going up here right now, Vicky, and this is going to be it. Come on, let's go in." Wow, we probably boogied the other way. Oh, it's got a text. I got to go somewhere, you know. We take off. But he was trying to tell the disciples right now before he entered Jerusalem what was going to take place. And in verse 20, he says, "Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons, bowing down and making requests of him. And he said to her, 'What do you wish?' And she said to him, 'Well, command that in your kingdom these 2 sons of mine may sit, one on your right and one on your left.' But Jesus answered and said, 'You do not know what you're asking for. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?' And they said to him, 'We are able.' And he said to them, 'My cup you shall drink, but to sit on my right and sit on my left, this is not mine to give, but is for those whom it has been prepared by my Father.' And hearing this, the 10 became indignant with the 2 brothers." So here we go. We got 12 of them. They knew the Master was going to start a new kingdom. He already told them, I'm going to be killed, I'm going to be crucified. They don't listen to him. All they think about themselves right now. And the mama says, "Hey, listen, Jesus, my 2 boys over here, can they sit in your right and left hand side?" Because she's probably seeing him sitting in Jerusalem, you know, big throne up there, and Jesus sitting down, and her son's on the right side, and the other son's on the left side. And she, of course, she gets a palace now to live in, you know, because her kids are in charge here with Jesus, you know. Thinking about themselves, and then what happens? The other 10 get upset. What do you think? She's trying to butt in. She's trying to pull strings of the Master. So right away, I see, as they've been coming together for 3.5 years, Satan's in there now starting to stir things up a little bit. I think that pride issue is coming back now. Isn't that right, Betty? That pride issue is coming on. Wait a second. I've been following with him also. You know, why do you get to sit on the left-hand side? And you're on the right side of it. Starting to split the church apart now. Why? Because they were not listening to what the Master said. They were hearing what they wanted to hear. And that can cause a lot of problems. Amen? You ever talk to somebody? You ever talk to me? Carol, we'll use you. Have I ever talked to you? And then later on you did something, so you told me to do it. I said, "No, that's not what I said to do." You weren't listening to me, was you?
Yeah.
And how often? Yeah. But you heard what you wanted to hear, okay? Because maybe I've said it 1,000 times before. Yeah, here he goes again. Okay. Well, the master for 3.5 years is trying to prepare his disciples what he come to do. And they probably heard it several times over and over again, you know. And what now that they have their eyes on? Yeah, well, oh, we want to be on the right side and the left side. We want to be in control. We want the power. So they're not listening to him. If they were just more attentive, man, they would. I think they would have their hearts prepared more and more, and it'd be less trouble among them. Yeah, those that have ears, let them hear. And you're right, they hear them, but they weren't listening. Because their own agenda, again, they was putting themselves, okay, what can I get out of this? Hey, what's in it for me? Have you ever heard anybody ask you that? Hey, will you do this for me? What's in it for me? You know? Hey, honey, will you run down to the store and get me a Pepsi? What's in it for me? Well, I'll buy you a root beer. Okay, boom, okay. Now, she said, well, I got enough money to one Pepsi. Well, then I got to decide whether... Is my love going to take her to the store? Or am I going to say, well, if I don't have anything, I'm not going either. Right? But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know, and this is verse 25, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not so among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. As they were going out from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, hearing that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David. And the multitude sternly told them to be quiet. But they cried out all the more, saying, Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David. And Jesus stopped and called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Lord, we want our eyes to be open. And moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes. Immediately they regained their sight and followed him. So we'll back up here a couple of verses there. And he's telling, in 25 to 28, he's telling them, listen, if you want to be great, I can see now, hey, do you want to be great among people? I imagine they say, yeah, I want to be great. Okay. Be the servant of these here. Wow. Think about that. Anybody here want to be great?
Sure.
You got to go clean the toilets. Amen. Be the servant. The master sees the heart of, to be great in his kingdom. You know, it takes a lot to... It takes a lot of the flesh to crucify in order to serve other people, because human nature, our sinful nature, is always about me, right? I mean, that's his nature. I mean, that's his. Now, as we walk with the Master and we surrender our life to him more and more, we can put other people first and ourselves less. But you ever have the old man, old woman raise up once in a while? Yeah, just let somebody cut you off at Walmart and take that parking place close. Yeah. Yeah, it raises back up that quick again. But, okay. You're right, Lord. I'll park out here at a farther pace and walk in. Then you come back out and you find out when you come out of the park into the parking lot again, you see this little car sitting there, red lights. Woo, 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 woo. And here someone backed up and hit the same car that was parked where he's going to park at. Oh. Amen? 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 But the greatest thing that we can learn right here on this scripture is that he has called us to serve one another. And he called us to do it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Amen? Amen? Yes. And what I find really awesome here is, here he is. He's headed towards Jerusalem. He knows what's coming. Amen? He knows that he's gone in there and he ain't coming back out alive. He's thinking about you, Bob. You, Donnie. He's thinking about all of us. His mind is set upon that. Think about it. Brother Jack, if you knew you were going to be whooped to a pulp in just a couple of days, what would be going on in your mind? For some of us, it might be, how can I get out of this? It didn't seem too bad 30 years ago, you know, but now it's getting closer. I knew this day was coming. Man, well, I got to do this. I'm going to die for the sins and I will defeat Satan, and all this has gone through his mind. But what happens along the route? Master, quiet down. Jesus is coming. Master, what do you want? I want to see. You talk about putting the needs of others before you. He did that. He's headed to be crucified, to be tortured, to be killed. But he still has compassion. He said, well, I might be dead here in a couple of days, but these guys won't be. And he touched them. And immediately they regained their sight and they followed Jesus. Wow. You know, and we learn a lot from that too, that when Maggie's speeding up from Zanesville at 75 miles an hour trying to get to church on time, and she goes past Brother Bob, jacking his car up. That means you stop and help him out there. You just don't wave at it. Hey, I'll check on you when I come back, you know. You were there to help out right then, you know. Jesus said, well, listen, I'll be back in a week.
Should have bought better tires.
Yeah. You know, but no, it means we serve right then. You know, Jesus goes, hey, listen, I don't understand yet, but I'll be back in a week and I'll give you eyeballs, okay? No, right then, because he could do it right then. He was establishing that, and he was still serving us to the last breath that he took here upon the earth. Then he raised up, and he still serves us today. But he said, what do you want me to do for you? And that's the same way in service today, as we're praising him, and his spirit just passes by, and just, oh, wow. He said, oh, man, I need prayer this morning, but I better not. I better not disturb the service. No, but he still asks the same thing today. What do you want me to do for you? What can the Master do for you today? You know? You can't say, well, this is Palm Sunday. I can't really. I'll wait till after Easter and I'll have prayer. I'll ask him to do this for me. He's asking today, what can he do for you in your life today? Because that's the reason he came. He walked. He bled. He died. He rose up again. Was to redeem us, save us, and then take care of us. So we serve him. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, in chapter 21, there, verse 1. Now remember, they're walking toward Jerusalem. And when they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent his two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says something to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. Now this is a place that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. And the disciples went and did just as Jesus had directed them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and laid on them their garments on which he sat. And most of the multitude spread their garments in the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in the road. And the multitude going before him, and those who followed after were crying out, saying, Hosanna, the son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And we had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, who is this? And the multitude was saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Wow. So there we go. We have, they're taking everything, the Master's coming in, and they're laying their garments down. They went and got a colt. A colt is a donkey that has never been rode before. And they brought it to the Master, and he is riding this colt. He's not getting bucked off. He didn't have to give it, didn't have to break it. It just yielded itself to Jesus. He talked about miracles of the Master. And the people gathered up so excited. They're out there, and they weren't afraid to acknowledge that they believed in Jesus. Amen? I mean, you're out there, and there's several thousand, you know, waving and praising him, and just all awesome. But I just wondered, well, Bob, can I borrow you for a second? How many people like Bob? Raise your hand. All right, fantastic. Well, Buck, I seen your hand go up first. Come on down here, Buck. Yes, bring your palm with you. Now, Bob, I want you to go outside and stand there. And Buck, I want you to follow Bob out there.
All right.
I want you to wave your palm and tell people how great Bob is.
Bob's great.
Now look at him. Yeah. Who else thought Bob's great? Nobody now, huh? Take your palm out there. Stand beside him.
Always telling people when they're driving.
Yes, yes. Now, Buck has kind of been there. Look at. Kevin's out there now. Whoa, anybody else this morning think he's fantastic? Yeah, Marion, going out. Put your coffee down, honey. If you want to go out, going out. Come on. Let's go. Bob Streisand out there. Yes, yes. Kenny, going out there. There they are. It's kind of hard to see. You're going out there too? Okay. All right. Mary, okay. Better hurry up for the cops get here, you know. Okay. But what we're looking at right now, when Bob went out there and Buck went out there, he went. But Buck is kind of, okay. You know how bashful you'd be in a way? Like, okay. God, don't let any cars come by. But when the second person went out there, they go, okay, this is their, and the third person, and the fourth person, and the fifth, now they're bold out there. They don't care. They don't, hey, Bob's a good person. Bob's a good person. Woo, woo, woo. And we all went out there right now, we wouldn't care. You know, but you know what? Some of you guys won't be in the middle of the crowd.
Tell them what's going on.
Oh, they don't need to know. What are we down here at 11? Some of us would be in the middle of the crowd. Other ones will be on the outside of the crowd. But when we come together, man, look how bold we can be. Amen? Many of you guys, I better let them come in now. Come on in. Okay, Marion. Amen. Okay. Amen.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Now, Buck, when you went out there by yourself, Inside Bob, it's kind of different, wasn't it?
It is a little bit different.
A little bit different there. You're standing there going, oh, my pastor's crazy. My pastor's crazy.
I was telling everybody out there what a nice fellow Bob was, just like you told me.
Yeah. Now, when the second person came out, if it gave you a little more confidence, maybe, like, okay.
No, Bob said, look, there's another nutcase.
Okay. But then the third person came out, then the fourth person came out, and man, the number grew, the more confidence we had, and we didn't care what other people thought, because they were out there saying, Bob's a good person. You know, just imagine if we all came out there.
Yeah.
Wow, and I was going to leave you out there for a while, but they taught me to bring you guys back in. But see, that shows us right now, when the master was ready to come into Jerusalem, man, the people were excited. Wow, they're just waving the palm branches. He's coming. And, you know, and when they were gathered in a group setting, they didn't care. You know what I'm saying? They had power, they had strength. Because when I seen you doing this, Paul Garner, woo-wee-wee. Well, I can do it too, you know, because two of us, wow, we're stronger than the three of us, and four of us, five of us. We don't care. We know what we know. We know that Bob is a good man. No one will tell us differently. And we're just waving our hands, lifting Bob up. And that's what we do with Jesus. We go back right now. Why is it so important to come into the assembly?
We're here to worship.
We'll worship Him. And look at the strength we have in numbers. Amen. Just think of that. You know, it is scary out there. I mean, if I sent you guys that walk down Main Street on First Friday, and there's the whole place is full, and Bob is walking in front of you, you're going, Bob is great. Bob is great. Oh, my. You probably think also, come, Lord Jesus, come. But when there's two of us walking behind, hey, Bob's a good man. Bob's a good man. Then three, four. Pretty soon, there's enough of us. We can walk anywhere in our community. We don't care because we have strength in numbers. And we declare that. And that's the way it is our walk with Jesus. It's impossible to be really victorious if you're walking with the Master by yourself. Amen, church? I mean, just think about that. Let's go. I'm going to put you guys back outside, but put you back outside again, and let's put seven Hell's Angels on Harleys. With SWAT goes here, you know, and they'd be kind of intimidated, like, ooh. I like Bob. Yeah, you know. You can be intimidated. It'd just be the nature of us to be intimidated. And, well, I was sent out here to tell everybody how great Bob is, but they didn't know I was going to encounter this here. But as more people came out, boy, he said, hey, we'll stand and declare this thing. I don't care how bad they look. We'll just declare that Bob was great. And who knows? These looks from the Hell's Angels, might be like, well, I'm 49 years old and I can't see very good. We might take their looks as intimidation, and they're just trying to see. Yeah. Hear me, church?
Yeah.
You know, we can't be intimidated by the way people look or how they look at us, because people process stuff differently.
Right.
I had a fellow in church years ago, and when I was talking to him, Paul, and he really listened to me, like this. Oh, he was grumpy looking.
Internet.
And I thought, man, what is he mad at me about? But I learned that when he was concentrating, listening, he's trying to block everything out and hear me. You can take that as, well, he's grumpy, you know, he don't like me. But he was just trying to process, okay? So he goes back again. The truth is the truth. It can never be changed. We should never, ever change that truth. But we can be stronger in proclaiming this truth if we stay in numbers.
Amen?
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Now, if I sent Bob back out there, come here, Bob. Hey, the Lord just give me this part up again, okay? Well, you're sitting right in the center of the church today, okay? Now, I don't want you to go back. Now, if... Now, Buck told everybody you're a good guy. Everybody believed it. Okay? We had several people out there. Gail, come here a second. Now, I said earlier, who all thought Bob was a great man? And everybody raised their hands up, okay? The minute they saw a buck go out there, their hands didn't go up quite as quick. They thought, oh, crazy man is going to pull on me, okay? But one by one, people went out because I said, hey, think Buck's a good, or Bob's a good guy, go out. There comes Gail, okay? And she says, she's sitting back here in the church. Kind of hard to hear me back here in the back, but she's sitting right here. She's talking to Brenda. Boy, I tell you what do you think about cake and mail? And she's not really listening too much to the pastor up there, you know. And she saw Bob go out, and then she saw Buck go out there. And behind me, well, Paul fell asleep and just woke up. He goes, hey, Gail, what did he just say? I think he said that Bob's going to give us money. Okay. So, well, listen up to me, church. So, she just told Paul that Bob's going to give us money. Okay? So I said, who else wants to go out with Bob? And Paul says, I do! I do! Okay, so Paul would get up and he would go outside. Well, excited, he'd be saying, Bob is a good man! Bob is a good man! Yeah. Bob's a good man. And in his mind, I'm getting money! I'm getting money today! And he keeps doing this, and more people coming out. I'm getting money. Bob, listen, buddy. I don't mean, you know, I don't mean to be pushy, okay? But, you know, I got things to do. And where's my money at? And you would say, well, money. What money are you talking about? Well, Gail told me that he's going to give me money. Oh, no. No, no, no. In fact, you came out today to be with me, we're going to walk down the street here and they're going to kill us. What? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But listen to me, church. Listen. What? I came out here to be with you. They said, oh, Bob's a good man. You're going to give me money. And you're not? I don't have nothing to do with you. So Paul leaves. Paul says, I want nothing to do with Bob Donnelly. He's a liar. Now, has Bob said anything really at all? No. But Gail, sitting in church, talking to Brenda, thought she heard. Why did she thought she heard that? Well, our pastor's always passing out money. It has to be money involved here today. Paul asked her, what did he say? So Paul tells you, misinform Paul. Paul said, well, I'll follow. And he expected to get money, and he didn't get it, and he turned away. Yes, now. Hi, I'm Gail. So Gail's sitting here again, and she's listening this time. And describing how we went up the street here about a block and a half, 2 blocks. They're going to grab a hold of Bob. They're going to beat him up. They're going to strip him. They're going to whoop him. And they're going to kill him. And Bob saying, I want you to follow me. Because, you know, they're going to do the same thing to you. But I'm telling you, we got better days are coming. Wow. So, Paul says, hey, what did he say? He says that they're going to kill him up there, Paul. He's going down the streets a couple of blocks, and they're going to grab a hold of him. They're going to whoop him. He's going to die. But he wants us to go with him. He wants us to follow him. He says, if you do that, man, it will really pay off big in the long run. Now, Paul has just been told the truth. Okay? Now, what he has to decide, based upon the truth, what he wants to do. Based upon the truth. Not based upon what you thought. He said, okay. Now you make a good decision. Okay. You have a seat. I might call you back up again. But it's based upon the truth. Now, as we were being excited and waving the palm branches outside, if you imagine this, Paul would be out there. Gail would be out there. Who else was out there earlier? Marion, Buck. Okay, they're all out there saying, hey, yes, yes. Some were praising him because they knew. And some was praising him because they thought they knew. But there's a big group out there, right? Okay. All of them had in their mind, well, they thought he was going to do. I guess I'll just paraphrase all this because I don't want to keep jumping around. But I want to jump back to this one verse again. Verse 17 and 18 says, Jesus, he was talking to him. I'm in chapter 20. Jesus talking to his disciples, telling them up front, right from the, if I can say they would say right from the horse's mouth, but right from the mouth of truth, okay? Ears are open, a dozen of them stand there. He says this, behold, we are going. Hear what he's saying? He didn't say, I'm going. We are going to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and will deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and crucify him. And on the third day he will be raised up. Told him right up front again. Told him up front. We are going. So they continued going with him. As he entered Jerusalem, as they were praising him, waving, in that group, again, those who believed, heard from him, those who thought. Some people were so sick and tired of Rome, they didn't care who was coming in, they was going to cheer for him. You ever hear of that before? Have you ever been that way? It kind of reminds me of the election right now. You know? I mean, eight years ago, we want a change in this country, right? 8 years before that, we want a change in this country, didn't we? 8 years before that, we want a change in the... Amen? We do. And sometimes, we don't look at what the change will cost us. Okay? We want change, we want something different. And if we just stop and look at what this change will cost us, we make a better decision whether we really want change. Or we're going to stay with what we have. Yeah. You know, right now, how many love watching the commercial on TV of all the election stuff? No. Amen. I know. We get these flyers in the mail. This person says this, and this person says this, and this committee says this, and this organization that says this. The best way of knowing what the candidate really believes is to go to his page, go to his himself, and listen to him and make a decision. Amen? You good? You know? You could ask me what I thought, but I could be biased, could I not? You know? If I was for Daryl here, well, Daryl's going to do this and he's going to do that. I wouldn't tell you the things I didn't like about him. I try to sell you on the fact that he's going to increase my my allowance. Okay? But I won't tell you the things that he's going to do that I don't care for. You know, here in the last 8 years, we're excited about getting insurance for everybody. Amen? Social Security increased. Less taxes. 8 years ago, so we put a president in the office. Back up 8 years before that. Insurance for everybody. Reduced taxes. You know what I'm saying? It's just an ongoing thing. And how do we know who to select to be our candidate is going back, hearing what they say themselves, look at their records, and make a decision based upon what they've already done. Amen? The master is the same way. You know, I can try to sell you parts of Jesus to you and tell you, boy, I tell you what, he came in my life and I tell you what, he just blessed me. I got a better job. I got a place to live. I got all this stuff. Fantastic. Wow. And Kathy, man, I want that too. Well, come aboard, you know. But if I don't tell you, but it's going to cost you your life, you're going to be persecuted, made fun of, your family might turn away from you, your whole life will be upside down. Now you got the truth. Amen?
Right.
Now you make a decision whether or not you want the master in your life or not. Okay? Again, it's the same way today. He hasn't changed any. To follow Jesus, to have him in your life, it will cost you everything you have. Amen?
Yes.
Okay? It will. It will cost you. But is it well worth it?
Yes.
Because this is a short time right here upon this earth. Compared to eternity, it's a short time. While here in Jerusalem, everybody's waving their palms. They're all excited that the Master's coming. Some are excited because he's going to set up a new kingdom. Some is glad because he's going to get rid of the taxes the Romans put on them. They're all excited. But very, very shortly into this week, you're going to find out half of them turn on him. And say, praise Jesus, woo! Or praise Obama, or praise Trump, or praise, Hillary, or who else, you know. Pretty quickly, the praise stop. That quick.
My mama's.
The return. And that's what has happened to the master. He entered in Jerusalem. He came. He didn't change. He's still doing the same thing he told people outside of Jerusalem. Amen? I'm going to be killed. But they weren't hearing. And when he went to start this week, this Passion Week we call it, and when they saw manhandling, when they started, when he was actually doing what he was called to do, his friends started leaving him. Why? Because they had their own agenda in mind and not his. And what Jesus says to us this morning, let's make sure we focus on his agenda and not our agenda. Amen? Let's make sure we share what he really did in Jerusalem. He took our sins to the cross. He took our sickness and disease to the cross. That sounds fantastic, right? It's all available for us. But it costs you everything that you have. What do you think of that? Think of that for a moment. If actually what you have, you would give me a lot of different things. You know, I got this and I got this. But he's saying it's going to cost you your mouth, your ears, your voice, your time, everything. But it'll be well worth it. Just for a little while, he says. Just for a little while upon this earth, allow me to establish myself in your life for what I came to do. Allow me, like we said last week, to be your Lord. Just a little while on the earth, you're going to go through some turmoils. Yes, your flesh might be insulted. Your feelings might get hurt. But he said, man, look what they did to me. You know, last Thursday night we shared the Passion here at the church, and for some of us, it was the first time we ever saw it. And it's the closest to the crucifixion I believe I've ever seen in my life. And you know, when they plucked his beard out, when they whipped him, yes, that was only temporary. Temporary. That he gave up, took on all that pain. It was just temporary. It was going to pass. He was going to raise up again. Amen? Lady, it's like childbirth. Pain, I hear, is a lot of pain. But that pain will pass. In a short time, it will pass. And what you birth is worth it, is what I hear. My wife tells me that. You can't stop the pain that comes with it. But man, what a beautiful outcome of that. Same way today with our walk with the Master. Okay? There is pain. There is persecution. But man, there's a fantastic thing that He birthed in us. And that's eternity in Him. In heaven. And what He wants us to do, especially this time of the year, is make sure that we share that with people, how much He loves you. But folks, it's a lot more beyond what He can do for me. It's what He's already done for me. And that's paid the price for our sins. And folks, it's well greater in numbers. The Bible says one of us can cause 1,000 demons to flee to 10,000. Look how much power we have here right now. Come together. Jesus voluntarily crawled on that cross. He voluntarily laid His life down because He had His eyes set upon the outcome. Okay? We need to do the same thing. Keep our eyes set upon the outcome. Don't let the things of this world distract you. Don't let the things of this world take your eyes off the prize. That's Jesus Christ. Don't let the things of this world get into your life so much it takes away the joy and the peace that God gives us to His Son, Jesus Christ. Don't allow the things of this world to run your life. Let the Master run it. Amen? Allow Him to do that. Man, there's no greater love. Jesus told us in John 15 and to lay your life down for a friend. And He called us His friend. And He laid His life down for us. All these things that took place on the cross was already prophesied, some of them 700 years earlier. Isaiah spoke about what Jesus was going to do. Jesus told the disciples what He's going to do. They didn't quite understand until after the resurrection. But today, we have a greater understanding because we can look back and see what took place. Amen, church? We can look back and see that, yes, He went through this, He went through this. We saw it happen, but we saw the outcome. And by looking back, it encourages us to look forward to the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's coming back again. He's coming back very soon. He's coming back to get His church. As they manhandled Jesus upon this earth, and they persecuted Him, mocked Him, He said they'll do the same to us. But He tells you, hey, that's all right. I've overcome the world. And you can overcome this thing in your life also. It had to be scary for Jesus. I mean, He was still human, carrying the cross. Imagine carrying the cross that you know up on that hill. They're going to lay you down. They're going to put nails in your hands. He's already whooped. But He went ahead and did it anyway because He knew the outcome. What the outcome would be. Victory for you and me. So may we have the same attitude. Keep our eyes on the cross of Christ. That we'll continue on the calling He's given us. No matter how much pressure there was. Maybe some of them came up to Jesus. Hey, listen. Cut down the alley. I'll get you out of here. Come on. Come on. Come back down here. Come on. Come back here. Come on. Peter said, hey, man. I got the boat ready, Jesus. Let's go fishing today. Come on, remember the good time Jesus got fish. Oh, come on. Let me go down and pull some more coins out of a fish's mouth. You know, all the stuff, you know, temptation could be coming to him that way. He's probably thinking of that. For us today, maybe we do the same thing. Satan hasn't changed either, right? He's the father of lies. He'll do whatever he can to distract you. So you're following the Lord, and you're getting pretty rough. And some of your friends are falling away. Some of the family aren't talking to you. And you hear one of the family members say, or friends, hey, come on. Remember when we used to? You guys ever have a friend go, hey, you remember when we? And you start talking about the old times. And you start remembering maybe a more peaceful time, you think, for a second. You're right. All I had to worry about on a Friday night was $5. That was enough for a 12-pack, a gallon of gas, and a pack of cigarettes. And I was content. I was happy. And here comes an old friend from the past. Come on, let's go do that.
Okay, I will.
See? See how enticing I can make that sound. Amen? Yes. So we have to keep our eyes on the prize. Say, okay, that was a time of my life. Thank God I survived it. Thank God I lived through it. Thank God I received forgiveness for it. But I can keep my eyes on the Lord. And again, it goes back to us right here, that when we see that, when we see it, boy, Starkey's starting to act a little bit different. He's not quite like he was. I need to go talk to him. Hey, Starkey, remember when? You remember January the 2nd? You remember 6:30 p.m.? On the hill in Roscoe, the year 2000. Remember, you got up there, you look like the cowardly lion from Wizard of Oz. He's walking down there. And you're holding your wife's hand, and you're going down there. Remember that? Remember when you knelt down there and the pastor laid hands on you? And you raised up, Kathy, remember, Kathy's there. Yeah. And you stood up again, and he says, he's got a great work for you, do you? Wow. I can go back to that day. It just regenerates me. It just gives me strength all over again. I can overcome the temptations. Not because of me, but because who came in my life that day. It was encouragement. Along the way, encouragement from brothers and sisters. Encouragement from Sister Kathy back here. I still got a game at home you bought me 15 years ago, probably. A Christian game. You turn it on and just keep your mind. Yeah. Yeah. Remembering when. The old Alan Jackson song. But let's remember the good things. You know? And keep our eyes on the prize. When the little things in the, from the past starts coming up to you, it won't be any different. Amen?
Yeah.
It won't. Satan's still a liar. He's still come to kill, steal, and destroy. You know, the only thing we might find out a little different as we get older in life and maybe a little more financially secure, it's no longer Burger Beer anymore, it's Heineken, you know what I'm saying? But it's still the same process of death and destruction in your life. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy, take everything you have. He won't be happy till you land on the road negative with not a thing on it, and everybody's laughing at you. It'll keep going on to the next person. He never changed all. It might be different this time, it might be different this time. It is never different when you're walking with Satan. He doesn't change. He's a father of lies. He'll take a pig and like you say, they say they put lipstick on a pig, what do you got? You still got a pig. You can put pantyhose on it. You can put a Sunday hat on it. A pig is a pig no matter how you decorate it. And Satan is a liar. He's a thief. He'll try to convince you it'll be different this time. It won't hurt nothing, Kathy. Come on. Come on, Kathy. Will you please? You know? But he doesn't change. And that's why we need our eyes on the Master. It has to be pretty serious, don't you think? This thing called sin, this thing called death, this thing called hell. If the Master was willing to come Jesus, and live in our bodies, he was willing to be beat, stripped naked. He was crucified naked. You talk about humility. His beard was pulled out. That's how serious this thing is, sin. And what it shows is that, Steve, he went and paid your penalty. You know that? Without Jesus, you'll go to hell and pay the same penalty he paid upon this earth. Anybody want to do that?
Yes.
Oh, I'm on the wrong side here. Better ear there. Anybody want to go to hell?
No.
There we go. All right. All right. He doesn't want us to go there either. He doesn't want us to go there either. He wants to recognize what we're celebrating today, the entry of Him into our life. And if He came, if you welcome into your life and you thought, wow, you welcome for different reasons, that's okay. He still wants to be there. Just say, Lord, I give it all to you now. Take it all from me. I give you. I give you my thought life. I give you my hands, my feet. I give you my finances. I give you my friends. I even give you my job. I'll start working for you, Lord. Yeah, I might still be in the same business, but I'll do my job as I'm working for you. Let my mouth glorify you, Lord. Let me be a witness. Can you think of anybody right now? Don't answer. Anybody that you want to see in hell? So there's nobody that can stop you from witnessing anybody, right? You can't say, well, I'm not going to witness the Donnie Haig over here. I want to see him in hell. No. So there's nobody that you want to see in hell. So there's no one that you can't say, well, I'm not going to tell him about Jesus. We have no excuses, do we? No, we don't. Because this thing on earth is nothing compared to what eternity is going to be like when we step into eternity. And as a born-again Christian, what's awesome is that my body might change, but I won't change. The Bible says, man, to be absent of the body, to be in the presence of the Lord. That quick, boom. Wow. We get to heaven, we're going to wonder why. Why did I wait so long to get here, Carol? Why did I wait, Betty? Oh, my. My. I think for one second, we'll look back and think about everything that we thought was so important here on earth. It didn't mean nothing. I'm Vicky. Didn't mean a thing. I mean, just because my wife won't let me get the sports package on DirecTV. You know, in heaven, that won't mean nothing. I was like, man, why didn't you have TV to start with? That's $50 a month. That's 12 more gallons of gas for Pastor Peter. Yeah. 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 What I try to do is always try to put myself in heaven every day. I fail. Okay, I'm in heaven, Starkey. What do you have the day that you can't take with you? You ever do that? Think about it. Next time you're really getting burdened with life, and you think, man, I just can't. Walk around and say, okay, I'm going to be in heaven in 30 minutes, Joe. What's here I'm not going to take with me? What is it I don't need here today that in 30 minutes I'll be in heaven? You're not going to find nothing, are you?
No.
Not a thing?
No.
No. No. In fact, if Jesus, I think, would call us up and say, listen, call me up. No. If he said, listen, April the 2nd, at noon, I'm coming back to get y'all. We're going to heaven. So we would be sitting there probably somewhere, okay, I don't know how many days, that's 11 more days. Let's see, I need 3 pairs of clean underwear, 2 socks, and I get by on Roman noodles. Okay, Roman noodles. Roman, Irish, potatoes. I don't need anything else. So what I would do, I get rid of all. Clear out everything out in the bank, both dollars, and invest into the kingdom of God. Invest in the kingdom of God. Because I know when He's coming back. Well, He could be back today. You know, again, go back to last week. He'll provide your needs. Amen?
Amen.
Nothing wrong with needs. Nothing wrong with having wants. Oh, I like to have this. As long as it doesn't control you. But don't let the wants that you want to have stop you from doing what God called you to do today. Amen?
Amen.
Don't let it stop you during the day. You know, we should plan as if Jesus is coming back in 100 years. But we should live as if He's coming back today. Amen? That's what He wants to, you know, help us out. It will help us out so much if we do that. Prioritize our life. Remember last week, anybody go home and write down your needs and your wants? All right. That's what we have to say, write down your needs in life and what your wants are, and then compare the two. Concentrate on your needs, and when those are all met, which there will be, then look toward your wants. But when we look toward our wants and try to get those, we neglect our needs, and next thing you know, we're being frustrated, we're upset, my electric's off, my rent's not paid, I don't have any food in the house, but hey, I got a new car, I got lottery tickets, I've got, what else? I don't know.
Chair.
A rocking chair. Okay. But see what it is? Satan will come in and he'll have you concentrate on your wants. When Jesus said to provide your needs, and next thing you know, you're turmoiled. And next thing you know, you're going like Paul said, well, Pastor Starkey said that Jesus would supply all my needs. All my needs. And Paul said, listen, I have no food in the house to eat. But he's telling me this on his yacht out in Salt Fork. Amen, Paul? Amen. So just prioritize our life. Put the needs first. Let the wants be on the back burner. If the Lord blesses you today, don't be haste to throw it away. Okay? Everybody ever come to church on Sunday? Then Monday have your car break down?
Yeah.
And you go to get an alternator and it's $110. But when you left church on Sunday, somebody walked up to you and gave you a Pentecostal handshake, nothing in there. And you look down, wow, $110. Woo-wee! We are going to go to Edie Ryan's today, man. We're going to eat. We had hot dogs and chips at home, buddy. We are, look at that. We are going to go to Edie Ryan's. We're going to have them hash browns, and we'll have them potatoes and gravy and hot rolls. And I'm going to get sweet tea and coffee. And you get home that night. I don't know if I got any money. Oh. Anyway, you get home, you empty your pockets out. Woo, I still got $1.12 left. Wow, tomorrow morning I get up and say, you know what? I'm going to spend that $1.12. That's enough for a Polar Pop at Dairy Mart. Or what do they call it now? Circle K. Hey, Mike. Hey, my car won't start. What's wrong with it? Just like me, go to church yesterday. Yep, go to church yesterday. Here, Satan's attacking me today. Buck comes over. Buck's a good mechanic. Pops the hood up. Your alternator's bad. Hang on. Yeah, Napa? Yeah, I got a car. Need an alternator? $110! Woo! Hey! Brother, it's $110. And I heard you testify yesterday. They gave you $110. God met your need before you even had it. Let's go get it. Well, I'm a little short. Well, how much short are you? Oh, about $108. Anybody been there before?
Yeah.
I've sung the choir many times. To the point, okay, God, you blessed me today. I'm going to hang on to it. Unless I'm praying for, if I was praying for a specific need. But out of the air, here it comes. I'm going to hang on to this, just in case. And I remember... I can't remember. I should have written this one down. But years ago, we got blessed. How was it, Mom? The IRS. It sent me. I'm trying to think how it was. But the IRS audited me, and they discovered they owed me $800 from several years earlier, and they sent me this check. $800-some-odd. But praise God, I was mature enough in my walk. Thank you, Lord. I mean, it took an act of God to move on IRS to audit me and give me a bonus. So there has to be something involved here. And I wish I could remember exactly. I'll try to remember. But we kept that check, where we cashed it and put it in the bank. And later on, 2 months later, I got into a situation, and what I needed was exactly the same amount that the IRS sent me. And somebody might remember that I testified that years ago when it happened. Kathy's shaking her head. I wish I remember what it was. But again, praise God, I was mature enough. Say, okay, If my needs are met, we laid it aside and met that need. You know, a couple years earlier, man, we would have been, woo! We might have been down in Mexico someplace, you know. Well, thank you, Lord. But when I realize that He meets my need, even before I know I had the need, I hang on to things. Just to make sure, okay, God, what do we want to do with this? Same way if I go shopping today, I'll close with this. I go shopping today, and I don't really want anything big. I'm just looking around. I come across this, ooh, look at that new drill they got there, Brother Joe. I could use that. It's got lights on it. And it's got a thing that tells me how level. Man, the stuff I build for my wife on that, whew, I think I'll just get, I'll wait the next week and see. But I still want it. I got 5 more days on the sale. I'll just go home and pray about it. And normally I'll go home, walk through my basement, and God said, look at all this stuff you got now, you don't use it. Why lay some of the house there? Amen, Lord, thank you. I bypass, and how great I feel. If I would have bought that thing and brought it home, I'd probably lay it beside the other stuff I bought years ago I'd never use. So I've learned, that's called discipline. I've learned from my own mistakes. Amen? And may we continue, all of us learn from the mistakes that we make. But there's no mistake, let Jesus Christ be your master, let Him be your Savior and Lord. And He came into this earth to die for our sins, which He did. He rose up, forgiven us of our sins. He's calling us to the cross to allow ourselves to die to the fleshy sins of this world. Allow Him to live in us and through us to make a difference in this world. Just as the Master walked among us and made differences in people's lives, we can do the same. But the first thing He must do is make a difference in your life today. If you're here today and you've heard about the Master, you heard about Jesus, you celebrated what the world calls Easter, we call it Resurrection Sunday, coming up next week, but you never allowed Jesus Christ to pay the penalty for your sin. You're still walking around, you got this thing on your back, He said, it is a debt that you have to go to hell and pay for these sins. Jesus says, hey, let me pay them for you. I already wrote the check, why don't you just cash it today? If you're ready for a relationship with God through the Son, Jesus Christ, if you're ready to wipe the slate clear, that whatever you've done in the past 10, 20, 30, 50, 80 years, that Jesus is saying, okay, come to me. But I'll tell you up front, as you do that today, He's saying, listen, you might be persecuted, you'll be persecuted, might be made fun of, the world might turn against you. But He said, I'll be with you. I'll never forsake you, I'll never leave you. If you're ready for the Master to come in your life, just stand up where you're at today. Come up and say, Lord, come into my life. I surrender it all to you today. He's calling upon your heart right now. You know He is. You're trying to bypass it. You're trying to remember right now. You're thinking back when you're a year old. He's in church and your mama took you to church. She had you baptized. I'm good enough. You're not good enough. Understand that. Listen to what the Master is saying today. It's great that your family had you baptized. Well, it's called dedication. That's awesome. They took you to church. But we have to make our own decision as an adult. It's us to stand up. It's us the ones saying, yes, Lord, I have sinned. Forgive me. Come into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. We have to do that ourselves. Well, but when I was 5 years, that's awesome. That at 5 years that you went through this ceremony or that ceremony, it's fantastic. I'm glad. But don't be fooled. It's each one of us is to acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. These young ones right here today, praise God, they're in church, they're hearing the Word of God. Someday they'll reach the age of accountability. 10, 12, 13 years. Well, they'll have to decide whether or not they want Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. By being in church, hearing the Word of God, in the presence of God, they'll have a lot more to decide what they want to do. Because they got the world coming after them. These are the ones that they have more. They have more attacks against them than you and I ever thought of in our younger days because Satan's time is short and he's coming after them. And he'll try to entice them. They'll try to keep moms and dads out of church, away from this, prioritize everything there is. They'll try to do that because he knows how powerful the Word of God is. Powerful. So I just reach out to you today, the Lord is, man, He's here for you. You ready to start over again? You ready to have a clean slate? You ready to allow Him to come in and pay the penalty for your sin? Are you ready to start walking with Him, let Him go before you? If you are, stand up where you're at today. I'm not actually joining this church. I'm actually to come in the kingdom of God. I'm actually to let Him be your Master and your Savior and your Lord. So again, if you're moving on your heart right now, just stand up where you're at. Stand up, because this desire in your heart is going to close here in a second. If you feel Him touching you right now, as the Holy Spirit is moving upon your heart, you see, this is your day of salvation. Because no one's guaranteed tomorrow, but very soon, just like this, this opportunity is going to close. You won't have this feeling right now you have. You won't. The Holy Spirit is knocking on you right now saying, you're the reason you're here today to hear this Word of God. The reason Jesus died is for you. Don't mess up on it. Don't walk out the day without Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Because very soon you're going to leave. And you're going to say, oh man, maybe I should have. Today is the day.